Okay. We are still early, huh? 3 more minutes before the puja start. In front of you, there is a J. Krishnamurti quote, with the title "Freeing the Mind." It's a very good quote. If you are free, you should read through. Then later on, we can discuss it. Maybe I just read through quickly. Then you can reflect and contemplate on it. Freeing the mind, J. Krishnamurti said, "You work hard for your daily living. You spend years at the whole business of being bossed around in order to earn a living or a livelihood. Swallowing the insult, the discomfort, the indignity, and how you pronounce this word, sycophonia. What is it? What is the meaning? Lily, you know, no? Huh? Lily. Oh, okay. Never mind. I think it's one of the difficult to endure type of situation. Just like indignity, discomfort, insult, and all those things. But to work so that the mind is free is even much more arduous. This is a very powerful understanding. You think to endure all those insult, indignity, and those scolding is bad enough. J. Krishnamurti said, to have a free mind, to work so that the mind is free is even much more arduous, more difficult. It requires great insight, great comprehension, and extensive awareness in which the mind knows all its impediments, its blockages, its movement of self-deception. This is sacrality and your fantasy. Its illusion is meat. So comprehensive. Once the mind is free, it can begin to investigate, to search out. But for a mind to seek when it is not free, it has no meaning. Do you understand? He didn't say understand or not. He said, do you understand? That's why his English is more refined. The mind which could find truth, God, this extraordinary beauty and depth of life, the fullness of love, must first be free. It has no meaning for a mind that is shaped, conditioned, held within the boundaries of tradition and time, to say, I am seeking truth, God. Such a mind is like a donkey tethered to a post. It cannot wander further than the length of its rope. So this is the profound understanding. If you don't understand this code, you cultivate also no use. You will be trapped in thought, in your conditioning. You cannot see how your form and mind entangle you through your delusion and your heedlessness. Not until you awaken to all this conditioning, to all this self-delusion, you can never understand who are you, what are you, and you can never liberate. Okay, what's the time now? Oh, 1 minute. Okay, we can get ready for puja. Maybe just good timing. Now we luckily got a lawyer, good English. I should have asked Sia and Nancy because their English are very good. And Nancy's English is good, and Lily one also good. I didn't know until they did the transcript for me. I learned a lot from them. So they can actually make the English word very simple. And I like their transcript. I don't have to listen again. When I read their transcript, I understand what they say. And that is how it actually helped out. I still got a lot, I think you can have more. Okay, can we nominate two to come and light the candle and incense. Maybe one of them, sister call, she seldom come. Oh, good. Michelle, where is Michelle? Go, two of you. You have sister call, her eyesight not so good. Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, the rest of us can stand. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, good. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. There's one more candle. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Can start with the tray, as long as you start, they can stand in the line. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Sadhu, sadhu. 那个花. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Up there, up there. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Ah, 不用, 不用, 那个, 不用. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, the rest we offer after. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Okay, we offer the final one. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can start our puja. Compose your mind, develop the faith, sadha. Then with the virya, we will commence our puja. Arahaṃ sammā sambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Suvakāto bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango sanghaṃ namāmi. Okay, you can visit that, then turn to page 1. We will comment our Buddha chanting. We have recited the salutation, then now we will chant the vandana, homage to the Buddha. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo, oh sorry, we can straight away start the refuge. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadanaveramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Kamesu micacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Musavada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Suramiraya majjhapamadatana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Now we will chant the Padipada Puja, offering of light. Ganna sara paditena Dipena tamadangsina Tiloka dipang sambuddhang Pujayami tamonudang Ganda sambarayutena Dopena hang sugang hina Gujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bacana motamang Vanna ganda guno petang Etang kesuma santatin Pujayami monindasa Siri pada sarorohe Pujemi bedang kesumena nena Punena metena cehotu mokang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati vinasa bawang Adiwasetu no bante Paniyang parikapitang Anu kampang upadaya Patigang hatu mutemang Adivasetu no bante Pali parikapitang Anu kampang upadaya Patigang hatu mutemang Tu no bante Bhojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patiganhatu mutamang Okay, we will now chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May all morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate wisdom, the bond-free Nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, May our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transform merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Keep your pure respect mindfully to Triple Gem. Buddhang Pucimi. Dhammang Pucimi. Sanghang Pucimi. Okay. Everybody has been here before, so we don't have to go through the initial instruction for new people. Okay, so we'll have more time to meditate. We can off the light. Then for those who really know how to meditate, straight away you can proceed. And for those who still don't quite understand or need explanation, I just run through quickly. The rest you can read it up from the transcript book, the two blue book, Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha and the Important Meditation Instruction to Understand the Teaching of the Buddha or Meditation as Taught by the Buddha. These two can help you. Then if you want to understand further, listen to the recording. Okay, we can off the light. Basically, we are here for those who understand to develop the training of the mind if you still need to train. According to the Buddha, the mind of normal living beings, they are very heedless. They think a lot because they lack the spiritual faculty of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya, the five spiritual faculties that can make you calm, peaceful, to develop the understanding of the teaching, to develop the meditation. These people who don't have this spiritual faculty, they have the opposite five. The Buddha called it the mental hindrance. Mental hindrance, they are also five. The first two are very common, sensual desire and ill will. The positive and negative craving when you subject yourself to life, when you experience life through your senses. Every moment of sense experience, you react to them, your like and dislike, your pleasant and your unpleasant sense experience. These are the condition for the first two mental hindrances, especially sensual desire is positive craving. Everything that you like, your pleasant sense experience, if you are lost in thought, preoccupied with it, then it becomes a hindrance. It hinders you from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness. When your mind is preoccupied with your thought process, your like and dislike, you will not be aware, it will not be peaceful. It will arise the thinking, the reaction of mind, the heedless reaction to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you feel and what you think. So all these are hindrances. Then the third mental hindrance is because you don't have faith, you don't understand the importance of meditation. So when you are in situation where you don't have any interest in what happened, your mind will become sleepy, lethargic. They call it sloth and torpor. This is the third hindrance. A mind that has sloth and torpor, or lethargic mind, or lazy mind, cannot meditate, cannot develop the silence, the awareness within. The fourth hindrance is very powerful. The Buddha called it restlessness of mind. When you have problems, it will trigger fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. And this will make you sad, unhappy, restless. Mainly it's due to your fear, your worry, your anxiety. So the mind that is restless, not peaceful, cannot meditate, worry a lot, holding on to many things. People who do wrong thing, violate the precept, who cheat, deceive, take advantage of people, or kill, or cause harm to fellow living being, or commit crime and other things, even CBT in the office or what, then they have a lot of fear, a lot of worry. The mind becomes very restless. Then when they confront life without understanding, they are not sure of what is going on. They have a lot of doubt. They are in a state of deep insecurity. So the last hindrance is doubt. So this five mental hindrance will make you heedless, think a lot, worry a lot. Then you are not focused, you don't have clarity of mind, you cannot see things as they are, you cannot understand your problem, you cannot resolve them. That's why you must come to meditation to train your mind to reverse all this heedless thinking, so that the five mental hindrance can for the time being be kept at bay. So what we normally do is, if your spiritual faculty are not there, not established, then you have to train your mind using skillful means to decondition your heedless thinking so that it can help you overcome the five mental hindrance. The best way is using the mind sweeping method, which I have already briefed you all. So you go back and read. The mind sweeping method is very simple. You just relax body and mind. Make sure you have a stable posture. You cannot cross your leg. You can sit on a chair or a couch. Then you can just stretch your leg out and relax. Whatever posture that can make you peaceful, calm, and aware within to meditate, use it. Then when you are able to have a proper posture, make sure your backbone is straight. Then silence everything. Just feel, close your eye, feel. Feel your forehead. You can detect any tightness, any stress within. Then you release them. Feel it soothingly, relax, relax, and relax. Then after that, you sweep down your awareness or your attentiveness to your eye muscle. Again, feel, relax, then sweep it down to your facial muscle. Do the same. Then you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. Then you combine this with metta, wishing yourself well-being and happiness. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. Then all this whole process, you can extend it to your loved ones, to all kilometers, all beings within this vicinity, known and unseen, and all beings throughout the entire existence. After you have radiated all this metta, you will have inner peace and inner well-being. Your mind state will be more peaceful. Then you need to anchor this trained mind, which is peaceful, quiet, and aware within. That is the deed. When it is without thought, just aware, peaceful, it's in sati, then you have to stabilize it. You can either use anapanasati, which is mindfulness of the in and out breath, or any object of meditation that you are familiar with or skillful in. You just train your mind until it's very calm and very peaceful and fully aware. The key thing is you must relax into every mind state that arises. The first support to awareness meditation is relax. Don't focus, don't concentrate. Initially, you have to experience the calm mind. You can focus, you can concentrate. But as you develop the ability to hold on to this mind state, then you have to release it out, relax into every of this mind state. Otherwise, it will build up and go into energy field. When you just relax and release it, you will become aware. Then the second support is just aware, silent. Then you train until this mind become very quiet, very peaceful, and very subtle, and very still. Even your object of meditation, all will become very subtle, very, very quiet. Then like no movement. That is the meditative mind, the silent mind, the pasati that you are trying to develop. So I will leave it to you to train your mind to develop the meditation. If you already have the spiritual faculty, you can straight away go into the meditation. The moment you are relaxed and silent, you are already aware, then the meditation will progress. And you will proceed with the understanding to develop the meditation very easily. For those who are already skillful, you can just relax and silent everything. Then whatever that arises within the form and mind, you will understand. Then just allow the mind to be relaxed, aware, silent, and maintain the silence for as long as you can. Whatever movement, just let it be. Whatever that arises is just sankhara. But if you don't continue to follow it or allow it to distract you, your mind will become more and more quiet, more and more peaceful, and more aware. And you will enter samadhi very fast. When that happens, you just continue to relax and silent until the mind becomes very still on its own. That is the silent mind in sati. When the mind is in sati, your meditation becomes very simple. You can develop awareness of any part within your whole entire form of mind. Wherever you locate this mind, it becomes very sensitive. Then you can also silence everything and just feel without a center, spacious awareness, where the awareness nature can be very, very beautiful. It can develop awareness of whatever it wants to understand. That any of the six senses, when it trigger off contact, what happened upon contact, everything will become very clear. Then you will start to understand the essential Dhamma that arise and pass away within your own form and mind. The Four Noble Truths, the Five Spiritual Faculties, the Seven Factors of Enlightenment. Even initially, the five mental hindrances, you see them, then later on this is to be, because the spiritual faculty has overtaken and it has stabilized, then they cannot arise anymore. Then later on, you will start to understand many, many things. You will witness the dependent origination, paticca-samuppada, occurring and arising within every moment of sense experience. So all this you will come to understand. Then the more quiet you are, the more peaceful you are, your mind will become very stable. This is the mind that you need to train so that it can develop the meditation. Then later on, as you come out of the meditation, because this mind is trained, it will listen to you. You want it to be silent, aware, you will just do that. You want it to be aware, you will just do that. You want it to arise, to be mindful of whatever phenomena, you will just do that. You will not wander off like before. You will not be heedless like before. It has transformed to become heedful, ever mindful to cultivate the Way Eightfold Path. That is a quality of mind that you need to train. Okay, now I will leave it to you to meditate. I will ring the bell after about 15 minutes. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those that are not, slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner mindfulness, inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. And this is the trained mind state that you need for you to develop the real meditation in life itself, the daily mindfulness, accumulating to heedfulness. Okay, now we will turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. I will read the English translation. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine.
Samanta Chakvalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sagga Mokkhadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa Iti Piso Bhagava Arahang Sammā Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Tadeva Manosanang Putto Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Basiko Opanaiko Pachatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Aya Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukkani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang punyakitang lokasati. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Give your pay respect to Triple Gem. Bình thường bất chế mì Đàm mang bất chế mì Sáng hàng bất chế mì Ok, you can be seated. Then in front of you, there is a copy of this J. Krishnamurti code on freeing the mind. Tonight we will go through this code. It will help you to develop the understanding of the cultivation. When you understand this code, you know how to cultivate. Otherwise, you don't know how to cultivate. Cultivation is not what most people think. It's not just sitting, going for retreat, closing your eye, cross your leg, and do all those things. Meditation or development of the cultivation has a lot more to what has been perceived. So this code, even though Krishnamurti put it in like a very different way, but basically tonight I want to explain to you why it's exactly the same as the Buddha's teaching. Because he used modern language. And this code I like because it's very comprehensive. Very, very comprehensive. When you don't understand, you will never believe what I say. Okay, I'm ready. All this. Nothing to do with the Buddha's teaching. There is no Four Noble Truths, no Noble Eightfold Path. Why you say same? And now we go through, then I explain to you, then you tell me whether it's the same or not. Freeing the mind. What is enlightenment according to the Buddha? You have to develop the wisdom to liberate your mind. And to do that, what do you need? You need to silence your mind to develop the direct seeing, to awaken, to insight into the characteristics of nature, the phenomenal, to realize its impermanent, its suffering state and non-self nature, the universal characteristic. So all this can be found in this code, but it's defined in a very much more wider scope, which cultivator will understand. Now I will read to you, then we discuss it together. If anything you don't understand or not sure, you better ask, then I can explain. This one also linked back to last Thursday, where we developed the understanding of the cultivation from the triangle. Freeing the mind. According to Krishnamurti, he said, if you want to free your mind, you have to understand this. He said, living beings' problem is, you work hard for your daily living. You spend years at the whole business of being bossed around. This refers to those who work for people. In order to earn a livelihood or living, you have to swallow all the insults. Swallowing the insults, the discomfort, the indignity, because when you are scolded, then the sycophancy. Just now, I think we should thank Brother Sia for explaining this word to us. The meaning is what commonly said. Sia, is it commonly? Oh, the yes man. Oh, yeah. The yes man means you have to say yes, boss. Yes, everything is yes. The boss is always right. If ever the boss is wrong, refer to Ruwan. So this one is the yes man thing. So I learned one word now. Sycophony. Then Krishnamurti go on to say, you think this is very tough, going through life like that, being bossed around to earn a living, then have to swallow all the insult, then to endure all the discomfort and difficulties, and to actually take all the indignity, then have to be a yes man, cannot complain, cannot even voice your opinion and all this thing. But then Krishnamurti say, to work so that the mind is free means to be enlightened is much more arduous than this. And now you understand why cultivation is so difficult. What do you need according to Krishnamurti? It requires great insight, exactly like what Sakyamuni say. You have to train your mind, silence your mind, so that you can see things as they are, to insight into phenomena. Great insight means the universal characteristics of nature, their impermanence, suffering state and non-self or empty nature. That's why it requires great insight, great comprehension. What is that? Means a lot of understanding, a lot of wisdom. Can follow? That's why you need to develop the spiritual faculty. Saddha, virya, sati, the silent mind, and the unwavering and collected mind, samadhi. Then only you can see things as they are to develop great wisdom, which is panya. That's why great comprehension. Then an extensive awareness. What is this? What is this? Extensive awareness is what? What is awareness? Sati, mindfulness, understand? That's why it's all the same, understand? The word used is different. Extensive awareness means extensive mindfulness, sati, ever mindful. In which the mind, see, when you have this type of mindfulness, when you have this type of understanding and insight, what will the mind understand? The mind know all its impediments. You know what is impediment or not? That impede you, that hinders you from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness. The meditative mind. That's why you will understand clearly the five mental hindrance. All impediments. Everything that hinders you. Your wrong view. Your conditioning, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation. So all this, you will develop clear understanding. That's why the mind will know all its impediments, its blockage, how you cannot block, your karmic obstruction and all those things. You will develop the understanding. Then how through complacency, heedlessness, you are not able to develop this meditation. That's why all these are your blockage. Then it's movement of self-deception. See? Self-deception is what? Sakayaditi, self-delusion. This five aggregate of form and mind is not you. The egoic mind that you cling on to, that continuously create the movement of self-deception, the selfishness, the emotional negativity and the fear, the three evil roots. They arise because of this wrong view, sakyadity. That's why this self-deception creates so much movement. They are the three evil roots. Then it's fantasy. Fantasy means what? You use your sankara, your mental formation, to fantasize, to develop all the funny meditations, psychic and all those things, to read maya, to do all those. Then you create a lot of fantasy within your own mind state, within your own views and opinion and all those things. Then it's illusion. This one is very powerful. Like the Buddha said, all of consciousness. The analogy he gave is consciousness is like a magician. A magician is an illusionist. That's why they create illusion for you to see. So every conscious moment, if you don't understand what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think, you cannot penetrate the reality. You will see delusion. You will be deluded by what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. That is what sakkayaditti, self-delusion, is all about. So this illusion can be very powerful. Then also is myths. You know myths, mythology. Very like you go and believe all those things. Then Krishnamurti say, once the mind is free, then only it can begin to what? Read from it. Good. Once the mind is free, it can begin to what? The mind is free means what? Not holding on to any wrong view, not conditioned, not heedless. Means what? Ever mindful, silent. That is the mind that can meditate. That's why if the mind is not free, how can it meditate? If it's in the state of conditioned mind, so conditioned by all your views and opinion, so heedlessly thinking, lost in thought with all the hindrance, how can this mind meditate? How can it investigate? That's why he said, this mind, once the mind is free, it can begin to investigate, to search out. But for a mind to seek when it is not free, has got no meaning. And now you understand. When the five mental hindrance is still there, you want to meditate. When you are still heedless, you want to be enlightened. No way, I tell you. That's why Krishnamurti asked, do you understand? At least he is more kind, his English more refined. He didn't ask you understand or not. So he said, do you understand? The mind, we should find truth. Yeah, a lot of people believe there is God. That's why they want to find, look for God, the Almighty. This extraordinary beauty and depth of life, which is the fullness of love, must first be free. See, the mind that is not free, he say, cannot meditate, cannot search, cannot investigate, no way. That's why we have sati leading to Dhamma Vichaya, the first two factor enlightenment. Without mindfulness, you cannot go to the second factor enlightenment, which is investigation of Dhamma. You cannot find out what is truth and non-truth because you are so conditioned. Your views are so rigid and so fixed. You don't have an open mind. You don't have a free mind. And all of your whatever wrong view, they are still there. And when you are in concentration, a conditioned state, all of your hindrance are suppressed, mental hindrance. That's why you cannot understand. You think you already have very good mind. You think you are enlightened. But that is a conditioned state. So all this, you will start to understand. Then Krishnamurti said, it has no meaning for a mind that is shaped. Shape means what? Means people influence you, understand? Right? They shape your thinking, your views, your opinion. That's like condition, you are conditioned by your tradition, by your belief system, by your culture, by whatever you were taught when you were young. So all this condition you held within the boundary of tradition. See? Your tradition is so powerful. Your tradition includes all of your belief system, your race, your outlook of life, everything that you hold on to live life. That's why they call it our tradition. Chinese tradition, Malay tradition, Indian tradition, Western culture or tradition. All of your culture are included in your tradition. That's why if you are conditioned and bound by all this, then it becomes right and ritual belief. You dare not oppose all this commonly believed tradition that has been imposed upon you and that has a great influence on you. That's why your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your inability to move, all these are restrictions caused by tradition. So you are held within the boundaries of tradition. Then to say, I am seeking God or truth, such a mind is like a donkey tethered to a post. It cannot wander further than the length of the rope. Understand that? When you are so conditioned, so heedless, so full of mental hindrance, when the mind is not free, when there is no sati, when it is not silent, it cannot investigate, it cannot search, it cannot meditate, it cannot understand, because it is so caught up in tradition, belief system, conditioning, thought process. Then you deludedly grasp and cling onto the five degrees of form and mind, thinking that they are real. That's why everything boils down to the silent mind that is free of conditioning. Because when you are silent and aware without thought, there is no word, nothing, no conditioning. You don't hold on to your memory, your conditioning. You are completely free. That's why he said, start from zero base, assume you don't know anything, then you investigate, find out. Leave all your memory and belief system behind. Yeah. That's why you cannot awaken to the unknown if you use the known, which is thought and memory, to search for it. That's why enlightenment or awakening is the unconditioned. The realization comes from the nature, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. If you use thought, which is an instrument limited by itself, you cannot realize a state that is the unconditioned, which is beyond thought, beyond time. That's why your mind has to silent and return. So this brings us to last Thursday, when we were going through this triangle. Remember this triangle? This one is very important. So maybe this time I will slowly explain this so that you can develop the clear understanding. You see, when we are born into this world, let's say this is the form and mind. This is the consciousness, okay? Trapped inside. And this is your brain. This part is your brain. This is the brain. This brain is the accumulation. This is where you accumulate everything. All of your experiences in life. Your fear, your phobia, your happy moment or whatever. Your conscious and unconscious moment. They are all trapped inside there as memory. Then this is the one, because your five senses are here. Your eye, your ear, your nose, your tongue. They are all centered on your face with the brain on top. That's why they are very near. They interact very fast. Then you have your tactile body. Then, of course, the mind. You are not familiar with the true mind. You are only familiar with the conditioned arising mind, the mundane mind, which is from here, you directly go to the senses. Senses are your five physical senses and your mind, which is the sixth sense. The consciousness that is trapped inside upon contact will arise the respective consciousness. That's why you can see things through your seeing consciousness. You can hear things through your hearing consciousness. Smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. These are the six types of consciousness that can arise upon contact of the mind, which is the trapped consciousness, with your respective sense basis. And all these are dependent originating, like the physics experiment. That's why you use the thought a lot. That's why you go this direction. This is mundane living. That's why this one create the mundane mind, condition arising mind. These are all thought. So when you only experience all this, then you forget that there is a true mind. When all this silent, then you realize that the mind can be completely quiet, still, without conditioning. But because of this, you accumulate all these views, opinion, conditioning, your phobia, everything. This accumulation creates thought. That's why thought is respond to memory. Remember? Without memory, there is no thought. That's why when you are born as a kid, there is no thought. So thought is response to memory. That's how thought arises. Then you input the content of consciousness. At first it's just pure awareness. At the moment of sense experience, it's just the consciousness without its content. That's why it's pure awareness. Then the moment you input the content through your conditioning and your wrong view, then the content of consciousness goes in and it becomes a thought. That's why thought is consciousness and its content. Consciousness and its content. It becomes the thought. And this is the mental mind aggregate of form and mind. Initially, your mind is very beautiful, spacious awareness. Then all of a sudden, you focus on something because the mind makes contact. Then what happens? You zoom your awareness into that particular focus. So like this painting. The moment you perceive it, you lost your awareness. You are preoccupied with what you see. Means you don't have a spacious awareness to be aware. Means your mind has actually conditioned out a thought. Then you deludedly, heedlessly, because you don't have awareness, sati, you straight away preoccupied with that thought. Then you're busy describing that painting. So when you are preoccupied, like what I wrote here, preoccupied with your mental activity, your thinking, your stirring, you cannot be aware. That's why you become heedless, you think a lot. That's why you must silence this one to meditate. So to meditate, you must silence. To meditate, you must silence. Initially, just aware. Can follow, Before the thought come in, before the perception and the aggregate of mind come in. This is pure awareness. Pure awareness. The moment you see, or you hear, or you smell, taste, tactile, feel, or think, this pure awareness create a thought. That's a thought. Then you input your content. That's why thought is limited. From spacious awareness, pure spacious awareness, pure awareness or spacious awareness, you zoom and limit yourself into a thought. So this thought is limited. Because it just preoccupied that small thing. Instead of having the ability to be aware of the phenomenal world, the whole of existence, you can be one with it. You are now lost in thought, preoccupied with this particular sense experience. So this is what we call heedless. Heedless. When the mind is heedless, it is lost in thought. So when it's lost in thought, this thought give you problem. That's why mundane living is where the suffering is, where the dependent origination is. A lot of heedless thinking, think a lot. The five mental hindrance is all there. Don't have any, hardly, don't have or hardly any five spiritual faculty. That's why you don't have spiritual faculty to understand spiritual teaching. That's why the Buddha used the word the heedless are as if what? Huh. That's why when you are here, you are dead. That's why you live from your senses. You create mundane consciousness. And without wisdom, you cannot cope with life. That's why Krishnamurti also say, the Buddha also say, you have to meditate, you have to develop sati, mindfulness. This is the pure awareness. Pure awareness. Yeah. This is the pure awareness. Before everything starts. This is your true mind. Your true nature. As your silent mind. Pasati. When thought is quiet. Silent still. It's just aware. That's why this one got no conditioning. This one got nothing to do with the brain, the memory. Etc. When you are silent, it's just silent. But the moment you retrieve through memory, you are dead. That's why Krishnamurti say, acting according to memory is what? Ah, very good. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. This word is very powerful. Not acting at all. Six years ago, after I've understood the Dhamma in 1989, when I heard this sentence, I was full of joy. I remember I told my wife, a lot of Buddhists, even monks, they are trapped in this, trapped in memory. You remember? They memorize all the sutta, all the chanting, everything. Then they recite them. They can rattle the thing. But these are all memory. Why is it acting according to memory? It's not acting at all. What is memory? Yeah? Just now I went through you. Yeah. Memory is what? Accumulation of what? All your experiences. Huh? Okay. These are all in the Heart Sutta note. So you don't have to write down. You listen attentively. All of your experiences, good and bad. Okay? What are your experiences in life? What are the things you hold on to your memory? Your sorrow, your lamentation, your unhappy moment, your phobia. When people ill-treat you, mistreat you. Until you have so much suffering, so much fear, so much worry, until they tarot you, like just how Krishnamurti said, you have to suffer all this indignity and all those things, boss around and become yes man and all those things. How you feel? Then, of course, there are happy moments where you want to recall, especially when you compare your life. You remember during the young old days when your parents are around. You are so lucky. That's why you must have gratitude towards your parents. Why? They give you life, understand? They give birth to you. That's how you come to this world, this segmented form of mind. Then they care for you. They love you. They actually provide for you, sacrifice for you. When you are sick, they really care for you. They help raise you. When you are sick or having problem, they really worry for you. They go all out to raise you up, provide you with the best, sacrifice for you, care so much for you. And in return, what do you give them? When you are young, you become so naughty, so disobedient. You make so much problem, give so much problem to your parents, unless you have good karma. Until your parents suffer because of you, become so miserable, so afflicted, so full of fear, worry, anxiety, worrying for you, for your future. Then a lot of things, as you grow up to your relationship with your spouse or your girlfriend and all those things, then your career, because of love, they sacrifice so much for you. So when you go through life and experience all this suffering, then you recall back your younger days and so you always appreciate what those days were. That's why many people tell me their best part of their life is when they are young. They play around with their friends in the schools and in the uni and all that. When they come out to work, they have to slot like anything. Even if you are successful, you go and ask those people. Among classmates also, sometimes we talk, we know. They say our university day, school day, those were the best day. Carefree, no need to work for money, no need to subject yourself to any boss or what. The only scolding is maybe from your parent or your grandparent. But actually they are there to advise you out of love. But you think they scold you, then you retaliate and do all those foolish things. So coming back to the accumulation of all these memories, so these are the things you will actually accumulate inside where you want to recall them. Then of course at time, very rarely, you have your happy moments. Then later on you become a Buddhist. You start to do some charity, some good thing. Then before you die, you can recall, at least this life is not bad. Well lived in a certain sense. You are able to do some goodness. In Cantonese they say what? Able to accumulate some merit. Chek fok. Is it chek? Chek fok. If you already about to die at the deathbed, then you recall with all the wealth and the money, you never do anything. How? So a lot of these things, they are all in your memory. And this memory allow you to recall all of your phobia, your worry, your anxiety, your unhappy moments. But these are the accumulation. Then you have your conditioning, your wrong view, your security, self-delusion. So when you act according to memory, what happened? Your phobia, your insecurity, everything. What happened? You refer to this memory, what happened? Then you become selfish, isn't it? Because you have seen how people cheat you, and that's why you don't trust people. And at times you also cheat and deceive people. That's why they also break precept. That's why out of fear, all this memory will recall to mind. All of your fear, your insecurity, your phobia, your conditioning, your beliefs. That's why from this, you act. How can you act? When you act according to your fear, your delusion, your selfishness, your conditioning, all these are evil root, anasana, root of all evil. What type of being are you? How can you act that way? And then you ask me a question. Then how should we act, brother? And now I ask you back. How should you act? If you don't use memory, how you act? You mean you cannot act? Means you are still the same as the normal people outside. By now you should know you can act. Because you have the... What do you have? You have the Dhamma which teach you the Noble Eightfold Path. Understand or not? You have the Dhamma which has the Noble Eightfold Path. And this is wisdom. Understanding. And this is how you act, understand? You act according to your understanding, to your wisdom. Noble Eightfold Path is the path that will lead to the cessation of all suffering. That is what the meditation is. That's why when you act, when you meditate until you have the Noble Eightfold Path in you, means you have the embodiment of this Eightfold Path quality. That's why you are a noble one. You are very noble in your understanding of life. You have right view. You are very noble in the way you arise your thought, because you have right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. You understand how to live according to Noble Eightfold Path. Then you have the right effort to constantly purify. Then you have right mindfulness to be ever mindful and heedful. Then you have right samadhi to see things as they are, to awaken, to develop all this understanding. So when you act with wisdom, with understanding, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, and all this conditioning is not there. That's why you can act with spontaneous speed and ability. That's why asangkalikang, spontaneous action, means through the wisdom, the understanding. Early on, I said, if you meditate, silence your mind with pure awareness, then you meditate with this true mind, sati, without thought. You insight in the phenomena. Then what happens? You develop understanding or wisdom. Understand now? This is the one that will protect you. This is yoniso manasikara. Wisdom at the moment of sense experience. Yoniso manasikara. Yoniso is right. Manasikara is attention. Right attention at the moment of sense experience. So this one is very important. Right attention. Yoniso is right. Means right attention at the moment of sense experience. That's why when you have cultivated the Dhamma, the understanding, the wisdom, it's with you, it's connected to this form and mind. And this form and mind, that's why I put the arrow here, this form and mind that is connected to this wisdom, because through the direct seeing, this form and mind can understand. It has the Dhamma. That's why it will act according to this wisdom. It will not act according to memory anymore. That's why this one is very powerful. Every time you see something, even your mind has the habitual tendency to stir or what, then you realize this one come out. The yoniso manasikara. It tell you. Sabbe sankara anicang. Sabbe sankara dukang. Or what Brother Teo say? See things as they are. They are just the way they are. And then you stop. That's all. You are not conditioned by what your old way of delusion tell you. Your old way is what? Kipo. Want to comment on. Wow, this guy, why like that? How can he do that? With all the ego and this guy, that guy, you, all the ego there. But when you have the wisdom, you know, so when you're like, people are just the way they are, for my mind, no reality. Even this one also not me. Then your whole understanding become different. Then you don't behave the old way, the heedless way. That's why this yoniso manasika, you have means you have. You don't have means you don't have. You cannot cut a feeling. Try to be mindful. Wow, feeling arise. Don't want craving. Cut. You go and cut. Without this wisdom, you cannot cut because your psychiatry, self-delusion is so strong. Your conditioning is so strong. Your views and opinion are so strong. Who cut? The thought want to cut. And the thought is so egoic, so deluded, so heedless, so conditioned. How can it cut? That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. And this one is a very powerful statement. The moment I read about this, I just had so much joy, and I knew why living being cannot understand, trapped in memory. And I can ask you one very simple question. Most of the time, before you understand the Dhamma, how do you act? It's always echoing to memory. Your memory will tell you, hey, this neighbor, be careful. He very, very sensitive. You don't simply put things there. Or somebody say, you don't simply spray your orchid. He will come after you. Because orchid, you have to put insecticide. So they are so health conscious. How can you be so what they call, use the word what? Not sensitive about. So insensitive as to spray this insecticide over the fan to my side. He say, you want to spray, you spray the other side. Even the other neighbor you can spray, but not him. Because this is a real life example. My neighbor, that Christian, he's a very nice neighbor. So he last time he planted his orchid on my side. Then I chained my fencing, remember? When I ran away the house, I chained it to a solid brick wall with plastering. Then he cannot hang. And he also very good, he didn't complain. Yeah, he know. I already asked permission. I say, I'll take out the fencing, I do everything for you, I'll pay for the whole thing. He said, yeah, no problem. Then after that, because he was thinking he has to plant his orchid somewhere, so he go and buy the nice rack, hang properly over the other side of the fence. The other side is fencing. But he didn't hang on the fence because he know they're very sensitive. He just hang on his own new, what they call, steel frame. Even that one when he spray, or the neighbor come after him. Oh, until a lot of problems. Then he also don't know what to do. So you see, things can be like that. But living being is just the way they are. You have to accept them for what they are. You need to apologize. You apologize because you somehow you really offended. But because they are so sensitive, you tell them, I'm very sorry. Yeah? If that is the case, maybe I don't spray them there. Or you wait till at night when he sleeps. You go and spray. When he don't see, he don't complain. Because the intensity, I think the concentration is very light. That one, they just want to make sure the orchid grow well. But whatever it is, human beings are just the way they are. So this one, you will understand that it's a segmented form of mind. Karmically conditioned out of a vehicle and a tool, not you, but for you to use, to experience life, to cultivate, to develop the understanding, the wisdom, so that you know how to live. And then the moment you have this understanding and wisdom born of this meditation, you become beautiful. Then you have true living. This is what the third phase of Dhamma is, Pativeda. The third phase of Dhamma. You get to live the life of enlightenment. With this understanding, this form of mind is no longer deluded. That's why it will not suffer. Understand? And then it can live here. Then it can use these senses to experience life, to live life to the fullest. Understand? To experience all of the wonder and beauty of life. Why? Because it's no longer deluded. No longer deluded means what? The five aggregate of form and mind, they also have, like you. But they are non-grasping. They don't hold anymore. They understand them very clearly. Anasana. That's why feeling is pure feeling. No craving, no delusion. Perception is pure perception. That's why the three levels of seeing, kan san, si san. Then second stage, kan san, pu si san. Then the final one, come back to third phase, Pativeda, kan san, yu si san. You say mountain, yeah, mountain. The enlightened one come, no mountain, yeah, no mountain. Because you echo and flow on it. You are no longer rigid. That's why Dhamma is not rigid. You are rigid, you die. That's why Kong Ching Lao Sang regular. Oh, you all in here, Tuesday class is here. Any more space to write? Oh, right here. Never mind. It's okay. Yeah. Whose Mandarin is good? Asong. Can you say ma? Say why yeah? Ah, 对也接受，不对也接受。 无论如何都要忍住，忍住是波罗蜜啊。Then,做事做完了就没事了。You can live like that so simply. You have wisdom. You are beautiful. Means you can accept. Right or wrong is relative. And understand not? It's a convention that living being used. Right according to who? You never ask. That's why right and wrong got no meaning. 对也接受，不对也接受。无论如何都要忍住。 都要忍住。 忍住就是波罗蜜。 Wow, good, the Mandarin still can remember. I thought most people cannot remember the Mandarin. Those who know Mandarin, it will help you. How many of you don't understand Mandarin? Oh, quite a number. Oh. Okay, I explain. You know what is 对不对? 对也接受 means Later, that one later. 对也接受 means right, also you accept. Understand? Where people say right means right according to them. Understand? Don't argue. Don't try to be egoic. Understand? Don't try to be right. Especially your spouse and your children. When they tell you, mom, you are wrong. You don't argue. 对也接受. Then you smile. Right. According to you. Then, 不对也接受, when they say you are wrong. Okay, accept. Right also accept. Not right also accept. No matter what happens, 无论如何都要忍住. You must cultivate patient endurance. Means, you must cultivate real patient, born of wisdom, not suppression, not control. Understand? 忍住就是波罗蜜, because patient endurance is a paramita, understand? It's not a weakness, understand? It's a paramita, it's a perfection. But through wisdom, when you understand, you become very patient with people. You don't argue with people anymore, understand? No more right or wrong. You have the third phase of seeing. You understand living being, right according to them, wrong according to them. So why you want to argue? Right and wrong will not solve your problem. You will create more egoic conflict, misunderstanding. Then relationships suffer. Then if you can do that, then you develop this as a parami. Because later on, after my cultivation, I remember, at first they tell me, my teacher tell me, I met quite a few more, tell me the same thing. We just contemplate the Dhamma until very, very clear. Then after that, I met a few more monks, even including my teacher Ajahn Yantra, you see. He used the word patient and calm repose. He never say patient endurance. He said patient and calm repose. You know what is calm repose? That means you have patience and you are very calm inside. Understand? Yeah. Then when I was in Penang, you remember? The sleeping Buddha there. There was one Chao Kun. Very good. He. How many of you can recall, I say this example before, Penang, that road, what road you call Burma Road, opposite is a Thai temple, here, Sleeping Buddha. There was one Chao Kun there during the early 80s. One day, I think 1988, near to 89, I went to Penang with another Dhamma friend, that Uncle Koo. The two of us, we went in because we want to visit this place. I remember Sleeping Buddha because when I was in 4-4 Home 5, I used to go Penang and visit the place.
Then we went in. So I went in, I went to the shrine next to the gate, and we pay respect. As I pay respect, very funny, I didn't know that monk was Chao Kut. Quite a fat monk. Yeah. He was actually talking to a few people. I think he can feel my nature. He turned and observed me doing it. The respect, then I raided the metta or something. Then after that, before we left, he immediately cut short his conversation with those lay people. He come and approached me. Then he asked me, where you all come from? I said, from PJ. He said, can you spend some time with me? He said, I invite you in. He invited us inside to have tea with him. Then he talked to us. He asked me a lot of questions. Then he was full of joy. Then he tell me one advice on it. In Hokkien, Thun Lun. Thun Lun. You know what is Thun Lun? Patient, endurance. He said, Lang Kong Hami Pun Ho, Thun Lun. Lang An Cho Cho Lu Pun Ho, Thun Lun. Just chick good. I straight away sadhu, I said, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I said, this was what my teacher also taught me. I said, he said, finally you must test yourself through that, is it? Oh, see? Good monk means good monk. Well, he speaks Hokkien. He speaks Hokkien. His English is not good. But he can feel. He's very good. So all these cultivators who understand, they will know. So when you have this understanding and wisdom, you know how much less problem you have in this world or not. Yeah? You don't go and argue with people anymore, correct? Or not? You don't go and create misunderstanding and want to be right anymore. Your egoic mind all stabilize, subside. Then you become beautiful. Then your kid will like you. You don't tell them off anymore. And you didn't even want to argue when they say, Mom, you are wrong. You listen to what they have to tell you. Then when they make problem, that is the time you talk to them. Then they will listen to you. Because they can see the change in you. That's why you yourself must transform for them to respect you, to listen to you. Otherwise, no way. If they see you also so much fear, heedless, and so much anger and emotion, they don't want to end up like you learning the Dhamma. If this is the Dhamma that my mom learned, he said, that is the last thing I want to learn. Understand or not? But if yourself transform and become beautiful, I tell you, one day he got problem, he will come back and ask you, what is the answer to life? How come you can be so peaceful, not affected by all this? Then he will want to learn. Understand or not? So all this is what the Dhamma is. Then the other one is, so one mei shi le, can write here. Whatever thing you do in life, he say, after you finish doing it, finish. You understand? 做完了，没事了. Don't go and worry about it. Don't go and recall, why I do like that? I shouldn't have done like that. I should have. All this is not the reality anymore. That's all. Your thought telling you. Then creating what? Remorse. Unhappiness. What they call, you feel like you could have done better. All this is not the reality anymore. And you go and create sankhara and make yourself miserable. That's all. Then every time you're this acting according to memory, because this is your conditioning, this is your habitual tendency, you every time want to bring it up on another side. I'm really sorry. I should have done it the other way. I shouldn't have done it. No point. Understand? Past is already gone. Dead and gone. You can learn from it. Learn. Be mindful of what you have done. Then understand that when you are like that, before you have the understanding, you will do things like that. Understand? Then you be patient. You cultivate. Develop the own understanding. Then when the understanding is there, you will not act that way anymore. Then you will know how to act according to wisdom. So acting according to wisdom, which is understanding, is the true action. Understand now? No more place to write. Oh yeah, Suyan very smart. We still got spare space. So how do you act? Huh? Acting according to? Understanding. Or wisdom is through action. This one, the Heart Sutta note, don't have. Because that time, people cannot understand. So I didn't elaborate on this. How to act. I just explained acting according to memory is not acting at all. I didn't even elaborate so much about the conditioning, everything. I just mentioned it. But now I know there is condition. There are many Kayamita who can understand. That's why this is real action. This is real Dhamma. You cultivate until your mind like that, you are better than those who sit until their mind very still and very calm. Yeah. For them to develop this type of wisdom, take very long. Very, very long, I tell you. But if you have mindfulness, awareness, then you contemplate and reflect on what I have shared with you, you understand very fast. And then like Krishnamurti said, when you understand, your mind become quiet very fast. That's why you must have sati, ever mindful. Then when you have sati, you don't go into concentration. You just aware. That true mind just aware. Don't focus. Don't concentrate. Forget about it. Initially, you want to experience those states. Go ahead. No harm. But after that, release it out. That's why the four support for meditation is what? Relax into every mind state that arises, no matter what happens, even after you focus and concentrate. Later on, when you experience all the beautiful mind state, bliss, piti, sukha, ekagata, or whatever, you have to release it out to normal state of mind. Otherwise, it will go into apana samadhi. Then it go into concentration. There is a conditioned state. Then all the mental hindrance, they are suppressed, cannot come out. And you cannot cultivate. Then after that, after you relax, the normal state of mind will come back. Awareness, sati, silent. That's why you stay there, silent, still. Don't try to know. This one is very important, that's why I mark in red. In the meditation, don't try to know, just silent, aware. When you bow, just bow. When you walk, you just walk. Don't try to know. When you are in sati, the form and mind will know. When it awakens, it is pachetang. The form and mind will also know. Understand? Huh? That's why you don't try to know. All of knowing before the understanding comes is thought, knowledge, mind, create, delusion. Then after that, you have to maintain this awareness, this silent mind, for as long as you can. That's why the lying down meditation is the best. Until this one is very stable. Until the pasati, silent mind, become very, very stable. Means what? Your mind has entered sati. When you can maintain this 24 hours, not necessarily continuously, when your mindfulness can be full, most of the time you are aware, you are silent. That means, that's why your breathing become very subtle, your object of meditation all become very quiet, like no more breathing. Then your mind is so silent, still, no movement at all. That's why wherever you locate that mind, it become very sensitive. It will drop to the heart if you do anapanasati. Otherwise, later on, you can come to the heart. The moment you're at the heart, it becomes so sensitive. It can feel all the vibration there. It can feel the heartbeat. Then you silent, relax, aware. Don't try to know. Don't focus anywhere. Silent. Then when you are completely silent without thought, you will locate the gateway. Then all your energy will melt inside. Yeah. Then the meditation will become very simple. Yeah. So this sparsity is very important. When the mind is in sati, when you come out of the meditation, you are very different. Every moment, every action is full of mindfulness. Even as you come out of the meditation, you can feel yourself. Like I always describe, even as you come out, it's like a slow motion, but no sound. Then even when you turn, it's like this whole thing is in slow motion. Then everything, your mind and your awareness is one. Then you realize everything you do, every seeing is like that. Specific phenomenal awareness or general spiritual awareness is with the phenomena. Without thought, it's just aware. The hearing also like that. That's why you see with awareness, where the mind is really in sati. You hear with sati. Smell, taste, tactile feel with sati. That's why feeling will remain a pure feeling. Then the mindfulness is very different. It can be at the moment of contact. It can be at the moment of feeling when it arises. Feeling remains as pure feeling, no movement. Then it can be at the moment of perception, pure perception, talk before the knowing. But no sound. That one is missed to show it to you that the mind can stay there. Then at the moment of activity of maya, sankhara, the movement, that fine suffering inside that you can feel them. When the activity moves, it will tell you, you want to suffer? Use that thought. Use that mandipa. That's why sankhara dukkang. Very clear here. Sabbe sankhara dukkang. Sankhara is suffering. The very moment of perception is suffering. The very moment of awareness, knowing, is all suffering. Because you have reached that state of sensitivity to be so mindful and so sensitive. All of creation is suffering. Even the moment of consciousness is suffering. Where your mind has become so sensitive. And during that time, the cessation of form and mind will arise very fast. Then the form and mind will know, think also like that, don't think also like that. The whole of the phenomenal world is just a phenomenal world of consciousness, no reality. And their universal characteristic is impermanent, leading to suffering. Empty nature, non-self. Everything becomes very clear. And then only cessation can happen. Initially, it's one moment. Then when you have such stable and powerful understanding, the cessation can last very long. It's up to your understanding. The unconditioned will keep on arising. Then you will experience Nibbana over and over again. Then your mundane mind will collapse later on. A lot of other things will happen, but this one later. When you are there, then we talk. Then we can maybe next year or because I realize the Kayamita force of consciousness is moving very fast, very, very fast. And a lot of people now has this understanding, can understand what I share now. And I tell you, this retreat, come back, a lot of you will be very different. And they are waiting for us. So all this, you must have faith. Have faith. Then silence your mind more and more than trying to know. Then these are the important pointer for you to cultivate. They are very important guidelines because these are the things that the enlightened being realize. It's just like what I share with you. See things as they are. The meaning, the textbook never explained. The Buddha mentioned many, many times. But what do you mean by seeing things as they are? Means what? Thing is just the way they are. The suchness is that. The reality is that. Means what? You have to see things as they are. Means what? You don't see according to your memory. What is memory? Your conditioning. That's why this one will tell you through the memory. Oh, painting. What painting? Chinese painting. You don't like Chinese painting, you say, what type of painting is it? Then you like Chinese painting, oh, this is beautiful. Oh, where do you buy? How much do you buy? And I said, oh, so this type of seeing is different. And I said, this is mundane seeing. You create through consciousness. So when you have this type of thing happening, if you are not aware, you can be heedless. You can be actually conditioned into reacting and developing the craving, sensual desire to own, to possess, and to buy. Not to say you cannot own, you can own. If you have the money, the means, you want to buy, you buy by all means. But don't attach to it, don't cling to it, don't grasp to it, don't hold on to it. So that you can develop all this clear understanding. When you have all this understanding, means you understand what the Buddha mean by seeing things as they are. Means what? No word, no concept. Then no right or wrong, understand? Just like baby, when they see, pure awareness, pure consciousness. That's like the baby got no judgment, no reaction, no comment, no what they call the, just how Krishnamurti used the word, what? Self. Deception, mind. Yeah. It's movement of self-deception. Yeah? The egoic mind try to reason, try to command, judge, and all those things. No more. Then later on, when we understand, we say thing is just the way it is. Means the world is the world. Human beings are just the way they are. That's why I extended the understanding out. Then I realize I'm at peace. When I can have that understanding, means the world is the world. I cannot change the world. Asana. If I want things my way, I realize I suffer. That's why Bhayan Kathy also very wise. You cannot go against what is. What is what is? What is the reality. Truth is. The reality is. The condition are like that, things will be like that. You cannot go against. So when you have that understanding, what happens? Your mind is at peace. Correct or not? That is the reality. Why you want to argue? Like Guang Qing Lao Sang said, the past is really gone. Whatever thing you have done, gone, done already. 做完了,没事了, understand? Why you want to go and think about it, comment about it, and remorse over it, and say all those things? There are no more reality, understand? So when you have this understanding, your mind is at peace. The world is the world. That's it. Finish. Then after that, living beings are just the way they are. Understand? Means what? Angry people do angry things. Selfish people do selfish things. Deluded people do deluded things. And then you can accept them for what they are. Understand? Then you see them for what they are. They are just the way they are. That's why you can accept them, even your enemy, understand? Because they are deluded. That's why they are like that. Because they are emotional, selfish, violent. They are like that. Otherwise, you say, wow, how can I accept my enemy for what they are? They did all this to me, you know. Who say that? Huh? Ah, your thought, which is the egoic mind, then got you, got him. That's why this is what Krishnamurti meant by the movement of self-deception. The psychiatry is so strong. There is always the I, the me, and the he, the them. That's why Diamond Sutta say what? We must cultivate until no mark. No mark means what? No mark of a self. No mark of living beings. No mark of Dhamma. And the most difficult to crack is no mark of the self. Understand? When you crack that sakayaditi, the rest are very easy to crack. Because when this one is gone, what happened? When there is understanding that this is not you, condition arising, dependent origin, karmically conditioned now, then what happened they are to the other form of mind? And they are also the same, isn't it? That's why when there is no mark of a cell, there is no mark of living being. But this is ultimate truth. then there is no more Dhamma. What is Dhamma? Yesterday, Joyce and Michael came and see me for lunch. We talk about this under Dhamma. They also know this one. Very few people can understand. What is Dhamma? Yeah? No mark of Dhamma. No. But the Buddha teach the Buddha Dhamma. No. And you are cultivating the Buddha Dhamma. No. Then how come no mark of Dhamma? Means in true emptiness. Understand? No? There is no Dhamma. Understand, no? Dhamma is for the conditioned world. What is Dhamma? Huh? What is Dhamma? Now we go into it. What is Dhamma? The teachings of the Buddha, truth. Teaching, because Buddha teach the Four Noble Truths. Buddha or truth. So what is this truth? This Dhamma is like the finger pointing at the moon, you remember? The finger is like the Dhamma pointing at the enlightenment, the awakening, Nibbana. But the finger is the finger, the moon is the moon. If you want to realize the moon, you have to see beyond the finger. Understand? Can follow that? Well, the finger is not the moon. Do not mistake the finger for the moon, because this is not Nibbana. Understand? This Dhamma is just words. Understand? Words pointing towards Nibbana. You follow this teaching, it will lead to the realization of Nibbana. Of Nibbana. Which means, this is like a raft. Understand? You know what is a raft? Take you across the ocean of samsara. You remember the Klang talk? Understanding samsara and importance of crossing over to the other shore. Sorry, S-A-N. There's an N in that. Sara. Samsara. So, the ocean of samsara, then this one is Nibbana, the unconditioned. So you don't be so foolish as when you reach the other shore, you still carry the raft, understand? Understand? That's why there is delusion. So don't cling on to the Dhamma. Don't hold on to the Dhamma. Dhamma is true, correct. But you need to understand that truth, then you free. Understand? And what the world is doing is they hold on to the Dhamma and quote the Sutta, quote the Buddha and argue with you. That's why the Zen analogy is what? The turtle with a Tipitaka on the back of the turtle. You know, the Zen, they say human being point towards the turtle and laugh at the turtle. He said, carrying the Tipitaka for thousands of years and yet doesn't understand the Dhamma. The turtle laughed back. You know why? Why did the turtle laugh back? He said, only living being thinks truth is in the Tipitaka. The Tipitaka is just book and words. Understand? Dhamma is beyond Tipitaka. Understand? The essence of the teaching is the Dhamma. Tipitaka is just book. No? It wrongly interpreted is not the Dhamma. No? Understand, no? And the book is not the Dhamma. No? Dhamma are the truth that the Buddha spoke. No? That's why don't cling on to books. Don't cling on to knowledge. Don't cling on to memory. develop the direction, understand yourself, awaken yourself. Okay, 10 more minutes. You can ask question now. Good.
Wait.
Understand or so far? Do you understand or use a better word? Not understand or not? Okay, English. Yeah.
Yeah, Matthew, coming to the spacious awareness. When let's say our awareness is be with the heartbeat, it becomes a specific phenomena awareness already, right?
Okay, you continue.
So when we are be with the heartbeat or whatever object of meditation without thoughts or just aware, there's specific phenomena awareness.
Yes, yes. You tell me your question. I know what you are trying to ask because you can do that. And you are at that stage. That's why it's very important that you understand this. I only need your question now. What is it that you want to understand?
Isn't that also when we are be with the any sense experience, we are actually focused on that sense. We are be with it. We are actually at that particular point.
When you are aware, it's not focusing. Understand? When you are just aware, it's not focusing. Yeah? You are just using the awareness to anchor the awareness, so that this paucity can be very stable still. Until when finally it becomes so subtle. You remember Huineng? The mind must have no dwelling. You don't anchor anywhere. You don't dwell anywhere. You remember what I told you or not? When you already reach paucity, when your mind is in sati, technically you don't need the object of meditation. Remember? That is what meditation is all about. But why did I ask you to go to the heart? Because that is the gateway, understand? That is where you must reside and silent. And the gateway got a lot more movement after that. This is where the real bodhisattva cultivate. Understand? Otherwise, you don't need to hold on to anything because you're already in sati. But I want you to go there because you can do it. And you can be silent without thought already. No. It's like you say, sui yan la. Means when condition arise, you arrive. But she reached that state because she can stay there very long without thought. But the thought come in and tell her, this is not spacious awareness without a center. This is still a center because it's still holding on there. But I'm not asking you to hold on there. I ask you to stay there. Be aware from there. Understand? Then silent. Completely silent. Without thought. Then during that silence, this awareness will pick up the gateway. It will know where it is. Then it will melt inside. And then that movement is the next stage of cultivation. Understand? That's why the final one is the mind has no dwelling. When you come out, you are fully aware. But the specific phenomenal awareness is different. But it moves with the phenomena as well. Like you're seeing. The seeing consciousness, like the fan movement, my hand movement, my voice vibration. Your mind can be aware of all this. Means aware is not noting law. Not one thought note another thought law. Aware means like your anger, your emotion. You stay with it. No? Means the awareness and the phenomena as one. Then when you are aware, there is no one. Then because there is no movement, you don't think anymore. You don't stir anymore. Then all of this, what they call mind state that arise due to condition, like your anger, your emotion, your fear, they will dissipate and cease to be. Understand? Not? Then when they dissipate and cease to be, the only thing left is your awareness. And then you realize, hey, anger, fear is condition arising, not me. That's why the third way will develop the understanding that they are condition arising, not me. That I don't have to do anything. I don't have to fight it. I don't have to suppress it. I don't have to control it. I don't have to do away with anger, understand, or fear. I just silent. Then it returns to its original state. Then I have to trace the origination factor of fear, and anger. How did it arise? Before fear arise, there was no fear. Before anger arise, there was no anger. And this is the understanding. That's why the fourth way is to trace the origination factor. It's always from one of your sense though, due to your memory, your conditioning, your views, your opinion. That's why your mind stir. And fear of the unknown, fear of death, fear of losing your loved one, fear of losing your job and all those things. All these are fear behind. So fear has various manifestations. And all of fear come from the egoic mind. Without the egoic mind, who fear? What fear? There is nobody to fear. Because the thought that project create fear. The thought say, I fear. Because I scared of dying. I scared of losing the job. I scared of losing my loved one. That's how fear arises. I scared people attack me. That's why Sakaya Ditti, self-delusion. This is the source of fear. That's why you crack that nut, you crack everything. Self-delusion, that fetter. The moment you crack, you at least a sotapan. But don't think it's easy to crack that one. When you understand, it's very easy. When you don't understand, I tell you, you may think you are that. That is what your thought tell you. Actually, to crack that, you really have the understanding one that this is not you, not word only, you know. Not he no me, he no you. Buddha said anatta, non-self, not me. Next moment, the egoic mind come out. then you say, I have realized Sakaya Ditti. I have breakthrough Sakaya Ditti. I have realized anatta. You are lying to yourself, understand? Because every moment of consciousness is still the egoic mind there. The conditioning is still there. The delusion is still there. The atta is still so strong. You cannot act that way. There is still fear of so many things. You still don't understand who you are. But the moment you went through all this, develop all this silence and practice and understand the condition arising, cause of phenomena, the universal character, after you have insight into it, then you realize, hey, exactly like what the Buddha said. He know you, he know me. Everything is dependent, originating. Not real. The phenomenal world is just a world of consciousness. Nobody there. Nothing. Completely nothing. Everything is dependent, originating. Causal phenomena. Condition arising. Okay? So, hope you understand. Mrs. Sister call. Use the mic, Sadhu. Use the mic. She got a lot of things to share. After I explain. Go ahead. Speak into it. Just speak. Put it on your mouth. Speak into it.
This heartbeat. Even you are talking, I can see the heartbeat is from the empty space, it come up.
Yeah.
But Dharma talk come into it.
Oh, Sadhu. Very good. Sadhu.
And then suddenly I can smell the incense, but it come and it go.
Very good. Keep on.
From the empty space, it go up.
Sadhu. Very good, Sadhu.
Not only here now, at home when I do my work, sometimes this happens also.
It started with the clang talk. It started off with the clang talk, all those things earlier on. Because earlier on, you off the thing I explained. Very good. Sadhu, let us rejoice. You know what happened to Miss Kaur? You're not married? Good, Miss Kaur. I know her since Brickfield Day, you know. No? She worked in UH. And that time, I think very few people know me. She only know me. I'm at the tape library and we are together. We are the early pioneers. Then later on, I didn't see her for a very long time. 20 years. Then I went to Klang and gave talk. She was so full of faith. She came and listened despite her condition. I think Jane helped her a lot. That time she was not so mobile. Her eyesight also got problem. Then she told me, after that few sessions, because of the failure, she started to understand. Then many things happened to her.
She told me one day, you know, after my talk, full of joy, I rejoice. He said, ever since that understanding come, a lot of things just happen, you know. And she was full of joy, and so I mean, she recovered, you know, her health, everything, you know. And she got so much joy, you know, that's why she can listen from the heart. And you know, from empty space, come on. How can you have this type of mindfulness? You asked her last time, she used to go retreat, everything, cannot. But how come she listened attentively with the faith? Then all this come because of the faith and all this. Then when she came and talked to me, she was full of joy, and she can stand there like that, you know, for almost 20 minutes talking to me. You know. I felt like giving her the seat, you know, I was sitting on the chair that I delivered, but I want to test her physical condition. And she was full of joy speaking to me. And they were so amazing. And inside my nature, I rejoice so much because she transformed so fast. And she can understand what I say, you know. Even just now when I explaining this, she was nodding her head. You know. I tell you. Yeah, it's still going in. How come can be like that? She has not been doing any serious cultivation. She only has faith and listen. That's why the power of this vibration is very different. That's why you should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And this is a very good example, I tell you, the faith and the affinity. And mainly because of Kuan Yin. She also said she one day fell, the drain. You want to explain? I can remember that. You fell and all those things you told me.
I have my whole body. The drain,
huh? Use the mic, huh?
Just before I fall down, think I relax already.
Correct.
Then let go, and then I feel the energy.
Yeah, the energy, supporting you.
Energy, three times went down. Yeah, the moment it reached down, I'm all gone.
Yeah, already. I know.
And then the two person pull me
out.
Yeah,
pull you out.
I don't know until
correct.
Then my friend, they all say, I'm all dirty.
Wet.
You better go home and wash. But my side tell me I must not walk.
Very good.
I go into the shop to
take some hot drinks.
And then I think I so smelly. You know, my friend, they are sitting there all.
Move away.
Under I'm alone eating there. After eat already, I feel I can walk.
Sadhu, very good.
I
very good.
My breath was
not wet. I know. Put the mic out. Put the mic out. Pamasuri, hold on the mouth there. Hold there.
So I had to come back to get the key.
I know.
Get the key. One of the uncle was very good. He put plastic into the hand and then get my key out.
Sadhu, very good.
And then when I went back, I just go and shower and all, and then going.
From there on, you can meditate very well.
Only the next day.
Sadhu.
Then after I told them, I had to go and open the door.
Sadhu. Sadhu.
I had a feeling that this one when it must be unconscious.
Correct. When you are totally let go, it's not the word let go. No, when you are totally without energy, means all dissipated.
The nature also no more.
No more. Then suddenly that thing come.
Sorry. When everything disappears,
But you become unconscious. The one.
That time I was standing on facing the Mekong River.
Correct. Yeah.
Everything disappears.
That's
awareness.
Just the awareness. Very good. Sadhu. Okay.
But then another one is this one is drop in.
I know.
That one is a freaked over. When you freak
spontaneous,
over,
like shift in consciousness.
Then you suddenly you go into a big okay, very bright.
I know, I know. That is the mind's manifestation.
And then suddenly
there's a movement.
A ball movement. Much brighter than the
Correct. You come back.
And then I'm feeling the Buddha saying, when the mind comes out, everything
arises. Yeah, you understand. When mind arises, everything arises. Mind is a forerunner. This is how you awaken, understand? Otherwise, you cannot. You go and think, use knowledge, use thought. Cannot. You have to go through this without thought on. Because she went into those states. The fall in the drain on it's like she almost died, Then good karma people rescue her. Then she felt like three level of slowly falling in, like air supporting and three level of movement. Then completely quiet, silent, like the whole nature silent, no more. That is the transformation that it happened.
No awareness,
nothing. Completely without anything. But you can recall when you come out. Then, after that, she know how to meditate. She just listen. Then all the understanding go in. Because you need this silent mind to understand this Dhamma which comes from the silent. Understand? And she is not young. 80. Put a lot of us to shame. 80 or still so alert. She is now so much more healthy than last time. Last time, you remember, those in Klang, they will know. She, that time the health was really down. I used to send metta because I know her during the Brickfield day. Then I saw Jane, they all. Actually, Jane looked after her a lot. Then now she, today I was told by who? The Klang group. Somebody told me. She called up you all to fetch her. Richard. Where is Richard? Sadhu. He told me at the toilet there. He said, Miss Call want to join us. He's very sincere. So we take, we personally drive there to fetch her. Shalom, I think. That's why we rejoice. Sadhu to you all. And she said, according to Richard, she is full of joy when she can come. Because this is what people who understand, they will know. And why today she sit in front? Because she understand what I say, on this whiteboard. And I tell you, he only attend how many class? He only attend my Friday talk, he never miss. Did you have the books or not? I will pass the book there. Oh, you cannot read. Yeah, your eyesight, you can only listen. You listen to my recording, huh? You can listen to my recording, huh? Good. You hold for her, yeah.
Listening to a recording, then suddenly I hear bomb, big bomb, so loud. It's like a pool. I look up, I thought the sky falling down. But then, as I get up from the chair and move, there's I don't know if it's a crocodile or snake. I think from here to here. It reached my altar, the head there. And then the tail so long. So I just follow along. I don't know, I'm not fighting.
Yeah, don't fear, nothing. Spontaneously
you
follow.
Lucky it didn't go upstairs. It go to my kitchen. Then behind my store. The table inside got pot and pan. He put his tail on. Play music with it, So I spontaneously, I get a stitch. I beat on the floor. Get his attention. So he stopped with it. I know he or she, listen. So then I send metta. I send metta, I can feel he quiet down.
They can feel you.
The head was about 1 foot away from my door. So I get the key
to open the door
for you to go out. Close the bathroom door.
About 10 feet.
I don't know if it's crocodile or snake.
Because no, her eyesight no good. Her vision.
The next, when my niece came back, he said, outside got one pool of sheep.
The animal, the reptile.
Then, after that, thunder, lightning.
very loud.
I say, don't lah.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The next day I was all prepared to clean, you know, the, my pot and pan all this. Then I see enough pool of shit behind my door.
Yeah.
They just go. I close the
door
window.
Yeah, yeah.
I can see.
You can feel that reptile. Yeah, you can feel. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The come and all. Yes, you can feel. Yeah, yeah. You can feel one. The reptile also can feel. You also can feel. Yeah, when you are silent and aware, you can feel. Then when they receive your metta, you also can feel.
I think you know that I'm not big because I sit on the floor.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Very good. Yeah, yeah.
Why not you get somebody to help?
No need.
Yeah.
Yeah, spontaneously you follow. Very good. Sadhu.
Then I came back and listened to your
Dhamma talk again. Sadhu. Oh, sadhu. Sadhu. See, without proper eyesight, also people willing to learn the Dhamma through listening. Actually, you 10 feet easily. Yeah, never mind. Don't worry. Oh, we better end. 10:40 already. Sorry. Yeah, we better end. Okay, we do a quick one, sharing our merits. Maybe in Pali enough, sharing our merits with the devas. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakan tu lokasasana itta watta camehi sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu sabasampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo ibina punyang kamina Mame bala samagamo, satang samagamo hotu, yawa nivana patiya, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Keep in respect, mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we end.
Okay, the biologist. Those of you that's going to the